أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I can see that some of you are feeling cold sitting outside here in the tent. So let us warm ourselves and warm our hearts by sending salams to Imam al-Hussein as we begin this first night of Muharram. Join me in the recitation. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bi fina'ik alayka minni salamullah abadan ma baqitu wa baqiya al-laylu wa al-nahar ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني بزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to do the dhikr of Allah. Sometimes you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to remember Him. Sometimes you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to remember His blessings. And sometimes in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to remember good people. وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمِ. And remember the narration in the book of Lady Maryam. وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَيُّوبِ وَذْكُرُ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And remember the narration of Ibrahim in the book. Surely he was a prophet and surely he was truthful as well. And the Quran asks us to remember them because in remembering them and keeping their memory alive, we keep their values alive. We keep their principles alive. We keep their messages alive as well. And therefore you find the Ahlul Bayt have recommended us to remember the Ahlul Bayt. In one of the narrations, the fifth Imam says, after the recitation of the Quran, no deed is more valuable in your scale of deeds than remembering the Ahlul Bayt and reciting Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
And the Imam explains, he says, in remembering the Ahlul Bayt is the purification of your hearts, and in sending Salawat upon them is the forgiveness of your sins and the multiplication of your deeds. We are now entering the month of Muharram, and tonight is the first night of Muharram. In this month of Muharram, we have an opportunity to remember Imam al-Hussein, and we have an opportunity to remember the message of Imam al-Hussein. God has blessed us with this opportunity. But you know that a blessing is not a blessing until we learn how to make use of that blessing. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with wealth, and that person does not know how to make use of that wealth, then that wealth is no longer a blessing for him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses somebody with friends, and he doesn't know how to interact with them, he doesn't know how to build himself through interacting with them, then those friends are no longer a blessing for him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this opportunity in the month of Muharram, and we don't know how to make use of this blessing, then this blessing is not going to be a blessing for us. So tonight we want to see how to make use of the month of Muharram in developing ourselves. Now, for many of us, sometimes the month of Muharram is an opportunity for us to go back in history. Or sometimes, for some people, the month of Muharram is an opportunity for us to do the azah of Imam al-Husayn. And today, we're going to talk about the azah of Imam al-Husayn. And therefore, you find in the month of Muharram, we look forward to coming to the majalis. We look forward to wearing black. We look forward to listening to the masa'ib of Imam al-Husayn. We look forward to doing matam. We look forward to holding a majlis in our house. We look forward to touching the alam. We look forward to being part of the procession. And at the end of the 12 days, we look back and we ask ourselves, was this a successful 12 days of Muharram or not? And we say to ourselves, well, alhamdulillah, every night I made it to the majlis. Alhamdulillah, every night I heard the majlis. Alhamdulillah, every night I cried for Imam al-Husayn. Alhamdulillah, every night I beat my chest for the sake of Imam al-Husayn. That becomes our goal for the month of Muharram. Yet, when you go to some of these communities, you find in these very communities where they commemorate Imam al-Husayn, the values of Imam al-Husayn are missing. The character of Imam al-Husayn is missing. The principles of Imam al-Husayn have not been understood in that community. Sometimes the very person who was mourning for Imam al-Husayn does not have the character of Imam al-Husayn. One of the ulama whom I know, he says, one Muharram I was invited in a city. And the person hosting me in that city was one of the azadars of Imam al-Husayn. When he used to come to the masjid, he was the one to serve the people. He used to be the volunteer. He used to be in the front when it came to doing matam. But then when we went home, and I saw the way he treated his family, and I saw the way he was speaking to his family, I was completely amazed. How can this person even claim to be a Shia of Imam al-Husayn? Sometimes you go in a community which claims to be a Shia of Imam al-Husayn, you find the very values for which Imam rose, those values are missing in that community. You know, today if I were to ask you, what is the core principle that you learn from the message of Karbala, what would you say? There is a trend in society today for us to say that Imam al-Husayn stood for peace, Imam al-Husayn stood for harmony, Imam al-Husayn stood for non-violence. And there is no doubt, Imam al-Husayn did not want violence. There is no doubt that Imam al-Husayn wanted peace. But that is not the core value that comes out from Karbala. If we cannot pinpoint the core value that comes out of Karbala, then we have not understood the message of Imam al-Husayn. The core value that comes out of Karbala is the value of justice. Rising for justice, speaking up for justice, advocating justice. The reason that God sent prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we sent prophets. And with those prophets, we sent books. And with them, we sent a sharia. Do you know for what purpose? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that they may establish justice within the society. The core principle, social principle of Islam is justice. Yet sometimes you go into a community, that very community that is willing to mourn for Imam al-Husayn, when the issue of Palestine comes up, or the issue of supporting an alim, such as Sheikh Nimr, Baqir al-Nimr comes up, that very community is silent. It is devoid of the character of Imam al-Husayn. So what has gone wrong? What has gone wrong in that community that remembers Imam al-Husayn every year, but yet it doesn't have the spirit of Hussein? What has gone wrong is that we have mistaken goals for means and means for goals. The goal of the 12 days of Muharram is not to do the azaa of Imam al-Husayn. It's a means to achieve a greater goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want prayer from us for the sake of prayer. He wants prayer from us because it develops servitude and obedience within our heart. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. He wants that prayer that keeps you away from committing sins. God does not want fasting for the sake of fasting. He wants that fasting that develops empathy within you. He wants that fasting from you that develops taqwa within you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُمْ. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Imam al-Husayn do not want the azaa for the sake of the azaa. They want that azaa from you. They want azaa from you. But they want that azaa from you that is going to develop the spirit of al-Husayn within you. So what does it mean? It means that at the end of the 12 days, when I look back at the 12 days, I'm going to be asking myself, today is my character different from what it was 12 days ago? Is my behavior different from what it was 12 days ago? Is my understanding different from what it was 12 days ago? You know, when Imam al-Husayn left the city of Medina, some people were suspicious about the motives of Imam al-Husayn. And they were wondering, Husayn is leaving Medina for what reason? Does he want to become a ruler? Does he want to acquire wealth for himself? Does he want to create chaos within society? So when Imam al-Husayn leaves the city of Medina, he makes a very important statement. He says, إِنِّي لَمْ أَخْرُجْ أَشِرًا وَلَا بَطِرًا وَلَا مُفْسِدًا وَلَا ظَالِمًا. If I'm leaving today, I'm not leaving because I want to oppress. I'm not leaving because I want to spread chaos. I'm not leaving because I want to acquire power for myself. If I'm leaving, it's for only one reason. وَلَكِنْ خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. If I'm rising today, I'm rising to reform the ummah of my grandfather. And how are you going to reform the ummah of your grandfather? Through violence? Through war? Through fighting? He says, no. I'm going to use two means. أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالْمَعَرُوفِ وَأَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. I will enjoin goodness and I will discourage evil. But the statements of Imam al-Husayn are very important. He says, I'm going to reform the ummah of my grandfather. Meaning every ummah of my grandfather, even if it is in this era, even if it is in this day and age, I am going to leave behind a memory. I'm going to leave behind a message. I'm going to leave behind a legacy. Whenever any person or any community remembers that, they will be reformed. And therefore our goal in this month of Muharram is to reform ourselves and to use this institution of Azaa to reform ourselves, inshaAllah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now let us see how to take advantage of the 12 nights of Muharram from the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. The 8th Holy Imam, he says about his father, the 7th Imam, that whenever the month of Muharram would enter, I found my father was sad from the first day of Muharram until the 10th day of Muharram. وَكَانَتِ الْكَابَّةُ تَغْلِبُ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى تَمْضِيَ عَشْرَةُ أَيَّامُ. Now the grief would overwhelm him for 10 whole days. And when the 10th day would arrive, the day of Ashura would arrive, that day was يَوْمَ مُصِيبَتِهِ وَيَوْمَ حُزْنِهِ وَيَوْمَ بُكَائِهِ. It was a day of his grief, a day of his sorrow, a day of his weeping. And he would say on that day, on a day like this was al-Husayn martyred. One thing you notice is Imam is sad and sorrowful for 10 straight days.
The Ahlul Bayt were sad for 10 days. Today, I want a commitment from you. I want a commitment that inshallah, over the next 10 nights or 12 nights, you will attend the majlis of Imam al-Husayn on every night. On every night, without any exception. Now sometimes we say to ourselves that some days we have to go to school, the next day we have to go to school, or we have to go to work, and the next day we have to go to work, and we really have to change our lifestyle if we want to come for the majlis of Aza of Imam al-Husayn. I have one question to ask you. If Imam al-Husayn could sacrifice his life to bring this religion to us, can we not sacrifice our lifestyle for 10 days or 12 days for the sake of Imam al-Husayn? Now often I've realized in life that when we say that we don't have time for something, or we say that we can't do something, I came to realize it's only because that thing is not a priority for me. We always have time for something that is a priority for us. Let us make Imam al-Husayn a priority for us. Second point that I want to make. One thing you notice about the seventh Imam is over the 10 days he was sad. His mood was different through 10 days and 10 nights. So it wasn't the case that during the day Imam al-Kadhim was the same person as he was before the day of Muharram. Business is happening as usual. You know, he's laughing, he's joking, or he's, you know, talking to people, he's gathering with them. But at night, for example, when there is majlis, he's sitting down and he's sad. No, his mood and his lifestyle was different through 10 days and 10 nights. We want to develop that culture within ourselves as well. What am I talking about? Let me give you an example. Sometimes I notice if you go on Facebook on the 7th day of Muharram, 6th day of Muharram, and it turns out to be coincidentally somebody's birthday on that day, even though it's the month of Muharram, you still see people greeting each other and wishing each other for their birthdays. And this year, unfortunately, we also have Halloween happening in the middle of Muharram. Other people may wish each other. Other people may celebrate in the month of Muharram. But as the Shi'as of the Imam, we don't do that. You know, the eighth Imam says to one of his companions, very beautiful saying. He says to one of his companions, Yabna Shabib, O son of Shabib, do you want to be with us? Do you want to be in paradise with us? Do you want to be in that same level of paradise that we are going to be? يَبْنَ الشَّبِيبِ إِنْ سَرَّكَ أَنْ تَكُونَ مَعَنَا فِي الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى مِنَ الْجِنَانِ. If you want to be in that same level of paradise with us, فَفْرَحْ لِفَرَحِنَا. When we're happy, you be happy as well. وَحْزُنْ لِحُزْنِنَا. When we're sad, you be sad as well. During these 10 days or 12 days, the Ahlul Bayt are sad, we're sad with them as well. Very important. The second thing that the Ahlul Bayt have taught us is that our outer appearance should reflect our inner experience. One of the signs of a believer is his esoteric appearance is a reflection of his inner experience. Let me give you an example. When we're feeling humble, the Ahlul Bayt tell us, raise your hands with humbleness and humility in qunut. When you're feeling humble, go in the state of sujood so that your body is reflecting the state of your heart. Why? Why? Because when you raise your hand, you will feel even more humble. When you put your forehead on the ground, you will feel greater humility within yourself. Similarly, during these 10 or 12 days of Muharram, let us wear black. When you come to the center, wear black. But even when you go to other places, wear black. Why? Because if you wear black clothes for the sake of Imam al-Husayn, you will find that your love for the Imam is going to grow. Your love for the message of the Imam is going to grow. These black clothes that we wear, they're blessed. anything that takes the fragrance of Imam al-Husayn becomes blessed. One of the great scholars that we had was Ayatollah Mar'ashi Najafi. Ayatollah Mar'ashi Najafi was a marja of Taqlid. He passed away 2 decades ago. And he's an important marja of Taqlid because he established one of the most important libraries in Iran today. He's buried right outside the grave of Lady Fatima Ma'suma in Qum. He's buried at the entrance of his own library. People go there to recite Fatiha, and people go there to visit his grave as well. Ayatollah Mar'ashi Najafi wrote a will for his son. It's a beautiful will that he wrote. It's translated in English. If you get some time, go online and read that will. He says, I advise my son, and there are many articles. Article number 17, he says, I advise my son to bury me with those black clothes that I used to wear when I used to go for the majlis of the aza of the children of Rasulullah in the months of Muharram and Safar. Bury me with them. What does it tell you? It tells you, firstly, these clothes were so valuable to him that he saved them. And secondly, this marja of Taqlid thought that they were so blessed that he wanted them to be buried with him as well. So inshallah, I hope that we will show that grief in our outer experience as well. But thirdly, and most importantly, I want us to engage in the aza of Imam al-Husayn. Mourning for Imam al-Husayn. If we want to grasp the message of Imam al-Husayn, Husayn cannot be grasped with the mind only. If you want to grasp the message of Imam al-Husayn, you will have to engage him intellectually, but you will also have to engage him emotionally, spiritually, passionately, and ritually as well. Imam al-Husayn has to be understood with the mind and the heart as well. And the most important reflection of grief, given importance in the hadith, is crying for the musibah of Imam al-Husayn. You find the Ahlul Bayt themselves used to cry for Imam al-Husayn. You've all recited, I think, the Ziyarah of Ashura. There is a story leading up to the Ziyarah of Ashura. Why did Imam al-Sadiq teach this Ziyarah to his companion? We're told that the sixth Imam had a companion who was a new companion. So when he came to visit the sixth Imam on the day of Ashura, he saw the sixth Imam was crying. And he says that when I saw the sixth Imam crying, I saw وَكَانَتِ الدُّمُوا تَنْحَدِرُ مِنْ عَيْنَيْ كَاللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمُتَصَاقِدِ. I saw tears flowing from his eyes the way pearls were falling down. And I asked him, why are you crying on this day? May Allah never make you cry. And the Imam said to me, أَوَفِي غَفْلَةٍ. Don't you know what day this is? This is the day of Ashura. Then the Imam taught him the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn. The Ahlul Bayt encouraged us to cry for the Imam. They said if somebody were to cry for Imam al-Husayn, or somebody were to make someone else cry for Imam al-Husayn, even if they were to shed only one drop of tear, even if the size of that tear was the size of the wing of a fly, may Allah forgive all of his sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place him in paradise. Now, I know when I say this, the first question that comes to your mind is, how can it be that a person who lives his life the way he wants to live his life, but just because at night he comes and sits down in the majlis of Imam al-Husayn and he sheds one tear, all of his sins are forgiven and he gets access to paradise? We're going to explore this in the nights to come. Our understanding of the hadith is not the understanding of our ulama. We're going to explore that, inshallah. But in the hadith we're told, even if you cannot cry for Imam al-Husayn, try to act like you're crying for Imam al-Husayn. But you have to try. Now, sometimes when our youth come to me, they say to me that we find it difficult to cry for Imam al-Husayn. We find that's not our thing to do. Because we're part of Canadian culture, and we're part of Western culture. And Canadian culture is different from traditional Eastern culture. I say, what do you mean? They say, you see, in traditional Eastern culture, the way you mourn for your heroes is that you cry for them. In Iraqi culture, Pakistani, Indo-Pak culture, in Iranian culture, and Lebanese culture, the way you mourn for your fallen heroes is that you cry for them. But in modern culture, in Canadian culture, if you've been to Remembrance Day assemblies, you know that they don't cry for them. They have moments of silence for them. So somebody says to me that I cannot cry for Imam al-Hussein because it's a cultural thing and it's not a part of my culture. My brothers and sisters, crying for Imam al-Hussein is not a cultural thing. Crying for Imam al-Hussein is not even a religious thing. Crying for Imam al-Hussein is a human thing. It's a part of our humanity. One of the sisters who recently had converted to Islam in Vancouver, the first time she came to a masjid was on the day of Ashura. This was before she became a Muslimah. This was at the time when she was exploring Islam. The first day she came to the masjid was on the day of Ashura. And she says, the first time I heard the narration of the tragedy of Karbala, tears were flowing from my eyes and I couldn't stop crying. Even those who are not Muslims, when they hear about the tragedy of Karbala, they cry for Imam al-Hussein. If I find that I cannot cry for Imam al-Hussein, let me not make excuses. Let me not try to find excuses for myself. Maybe that's a wake-up call for me. I have to start asking myself, what has happened to my heart? Have I become so selfish? Have I become so worldly? Have I become so hard-hearted that when I hear the tragedy of Karbala, I can't cry for Imam al-Hussein? But one thing that we have to do is to make this crying very purposeful. We've got to make this crying meaningful. We've got to make this crying powerful. We've got to make this crying impactful in our lives. Shaheed Murtada Mutahhari says something very powerful. And I want you to listen to this quote from Shaheed Mutahhari. Shaheed Mutahhari says that if when you are crying for Imam al-Hussein, no, the first thing he says is that you must listen to the authentic narration of the tragedy of Karbala. And when listening to the authentic narration of the tragedy of Karbala, if tears start flowing from your eyes, and in that one moment your soul becomes one with the soul of Hussein, your soul becomes harmonious with the message of Imam al-Hussein, then at that time, even if a single tear flows from your eyes, even if it is as small as the size of the wing of a fly, that tear has an ocean of value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, he says, Shaheed Mutahhari says, but if these tears are butchered from you through false narrations of Karbala, if they're just these emotions are just stripped out from you, and you don't understand the message of Imam al-Hussein, then you can cry an ocean of tears, and it doesn't have that much of a value. Shaheed Mutahhari is making some very important points. I want to draw three messages from what he said. First message. You have to listen to the authentic narration of the tragedy of Karbala. Make a commitment this first night of Muharram that you're going to read about the tragedy of Karbala from the authentic books of history. You will find that some of the narrations, some of what transpired in Karbala is not mentioned in the spoken narration. And some of what is mentioned in the spoken narration did not transpire on the plains of Karbala. Sometimes, we not only impose a narration on Karbala, you find that sometimes we impose our cultural values onto the narration of Karbala. Second point. It's also very important for us to understand the messages of Imam al-Hussein, the values of Imam al-Hussein. We have to understand who our Imam was. Let me tell you about the story of Muslim ibn Aqil.
You've heard about the story of Muslim ibn Aqil, right? Muslim ibn Aqil, when he came to Kufa, more than 18,000 people pledged allegiance to him. There came a day when over 25,000 people pledged allegiance to him as the ambassador of Imam al-Husayn. So Muslim ibn Aqil writes a letter to Imam al-Husayn telling him, come to the city of Kufa, the conditions are ripe for you. Imam al-Husayn leaves Mecca on the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah and he travels towards the city of Kufa. At the same time, Yazid tells Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, who is the governor of Basra at that time, he tells him, Ubaydullah, you need to go to Kufa and become the governor of Kufa. Now, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad wants to enter the city of Kufa, but he can't enter in broad daylight. If he just enters the city of Kufa like that, the people are going to, they're going to imprison him, they're going to catch him, and they might kill him as well. So what does he do? How does he enter the city of Kufa? He covers himself. Only his eyes are visible. And he enters the city of Kufa, and he goes through the marketplaces of Kufa, and he passes by the residence of Kufa, and he enters with his entourage, and when people look at him, they think this is Imam al-Husayn. So when he's entering, people say to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, welcome, O son of the Prophet of Allah. Welcome, our Imam. Welcome to the city of Kufa. Even Ubaydullah himself was surprised as to how many people were welcoming him into the city of Kufa. And he makes it all the way safely to the palace of Kufa. When he reaches the palace of Kufa, he tells the guard there, look at me, I am Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Open the door for me so I can get inside. They opens the door. Ubaydullah gets inside. He finds safety in the palace of Kufa. What happened to the people of Kufa that they could not recognize their own Imam? You know what happened? They knew their Imam by name. They knew their Imam by his physical features. They knew their Imam by the clothes that he wore, or maybe by the things that he had on him. But they did not know their Imam by the values of their Imam. They did not know Imam al-Husayn by the character of Imam al-Husayn. Because had they known the character of Imam al-Husayn, they would have realized immediately that my Imam would never enter the city of Kufa like that. My Imam would have come down from his horse, he would have greeted the people, he would have spoken to the people, he would have shook hands with the people, he would have responded to their salam. My Imam would never enter the city of Kufa with such arrogance. Now we too are waiting for our Imam to come, right? Like the people of Kufa, we too are waiting for our Imam to come. But let me ask you, how do we know our Imam? We know him by his name, we know him by some of his features, we know him by some of the clothes that he will be wearing, we know him by some of the signs that will happen before the coming of the 12th Imam. Sometimes I go into a community, one of the biggest questions that they have is, what are the signs for the coming of the 12th Imam? I want to know the signs for the coming of the 12th Imam so that I know when my Imam is going to come. But we don't know our Imam by the mission, the objectives, the goals, the values, the character of our Imam. Now there's a very interesting hadith from the 6th Imam in one of our books of history. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi afdal al-salati wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We've been requested to move forward. If you can recite Allah salawat ala Muhammad, and please move forward. The hadith says that when the 12th Imam comes, some of the people who claimed to be the Shias of the Imam and they claim to associate themselves with Wilaya are going to turn away from the 12th Imam. They might tell the 12th Imam, this is not the time. Or they might say, you're not the Imam. the Imam is still to come. And then other people who are like the sun and moon worshippers. This is mentioned in the hadith. كَعَبَدَتِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ. People who aren't Muslims, people who don't necessarily know the Imam, people who don't know him by name, people who didn't know the signs of the coming of the 12th Imam. When he comes and he presents the truth to them, they will accept it and they will join his movement. So it's very important for us to know what were the core messages that came out of Karbala. The third message that Shaheed Mutahhari also gives us is that it's important for us to be reflective when crying over Imam al-Hussein. This reflectiveness is very important. Karbala is not a historical event. Ashura is not just a historical day. You know, we may argue whether there is a hadith or there isn't a hadith, kullu yawmin ashura, kullu ardin karbala, whether such a hadith exists or it doesn't exist, it is a reality. In every heart there is a Karbala, and in every heart there is an Ashura happening. In every heart there is a Hussein, in every heart there is a Yazidi aspect as well. And in every heart the Hussein is fighting the Yazid every day. Every time I turn towards worldliness and I turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Yazid has butchered my Hussein. Every time I become selfish and I turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Yazid is butchering my Hussein. And therefore, as I cry for Imam al-Hussein, let me not just cry for al-Hussein, I should cry for him. Let me not just cry for al-Hussein, but let me also cry for the Hussein inside me. That voice of consciousness inside me, let me also cry for that as well. And the last thing that I'd like to request my brothers and sisters, as we begin the month of Muharram, is that let us also do the matam of Imam al-Hussein. I know after the program over here, they're going to have a program for doing matam for Imam al-Hussein. This is a part of our culture and a part of our tradition. Let us engage in the matam of Imam al-Hussein. If you can recite, recite. If you can't recite, join in the recitation. If you can't even join in the recitation, join in doing the matam of Imam al-Hussein. Sometimes you'll find that the commitment that you can make, the commitment that you can force out of yourself while doing the matam of Imam al-Hussein, you can't force out of yourself even when you're crying for Imam al-Hussein. Muharram is about change. Muharram is about breaking old behaviors and habits and developing new behaviors and habits. Muharram is about making commitment. When you're doing the matam of Imam al-Hussein, that's a good time for making commitments. Question: do we have hadith about doing matam? Do we have hadith that tell us you must do the matam and you must beat your chest for Imam al-Hussein? I'll be transparent with you. I'll be very frank with you. That we don't have a hadith per se. Yes, we have examples in history of people who did matam for Imam al-Hussein in the presence of the Ahlul Bayt. For example, on the days before Ashura, even when Imam al-Hussein was alive, one day Imam al-Hussein himself was reciting a marthiya for himself. Many of you may not have heard about that. That's because we don't read about the tragedy of Karbala. Imam al-Hussein was reciting marthiya for himself. Lady Zainab alayhi salam hears the marthiya, she starts doing matam. How? By beating her cheeks in the presence of Imam al-Hussein. Another example, Di'bal. And I'll recite the poetry of Di'bal for you today. Di'bal, when he comes in the presence of the 8th Imam, and the 8th Imam says to him, "Oh Di'bal, I want you to recite marthiya for Imam al-Hussein." In his marthiya, he says, "Oh Fatima, He addresses Lady Fatima, "Oh Fatima, I wish you were there on the plains of Karbala. You would have seen your son being martyred by the plains of Furat. Oh Fatima, had you been there at that time, you would have beat your cheeks. إِذَا لَلَطَمْتِ الْخَدَّ فَاطِمُ عِنْدَ You would have beat your cheeks next to him." Imam al-Ridha heard this, and he approved of this as well. Al-Maraji of Taqleed encourage us to do matam. Al-Maraji of Taqleed themselves engage in the matam of Imam al-Hassan. I'm going to end the discussion today with a narration of Ayatollah Burujardi. Ayatollah Burujardi was a great Maraji of Taqleed. He was a teacher for many Maraji of Taqleed. Ayatollah Burujardi was an alim of his time as well. But Ayatollah Burujardi says, when I was a young student and I was still beginning my studies in the Hawza, I realized that my eyes were not operating well and I was losing eyesight. And I went to the doctors and the doctors said to me that we can operate on you, we can do some things with you, but your eyesight is not going to improve significantly and it will continue to deteriorate. So Ayatollah Burujardi, you know, was very upset, he was very disappointed. He said that I want to become a scholar and now I'm losing this opportunity. So he says, one day I went to the Majlis of the Azza of Imam al-Hussein. And as I was there, a thought came to my mind. Now these thoughts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes puts into our minds, and these thoughts are inspirations. He says, I saw people doing matam for Imam al-Hussein. And a thought came to my mind, let me go and just touch the sweat of the person who is doing the matam for Imam al-Hussein. Take it and rub it on my eyes. And he did that. And he did that, and he said, after that day, I neither had to get an operation, I neither had to go to the doctor, I neither had to wear any glasses until the last day of my life. Until that day when he was narrating that story. So doing matam for Imam al-Hussein is a part of our tradition and something that is blessed by the Ahlul Bayt. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
This evening, let us imagine ourselves being in Karbala. Imagine ourselves sitting Bainul Haramain, between the Haram of Abbas and Hussein. I know many of us wish that we were in Karbala on this evening. So let us take our hearts to that holy land and join me right now in calling out to Imam al-Hussein.
Ya Aba Abdillah, Ya Hussein ibn Ali, Ayyuha al-Shahid, Ya ibn Rasulillah, يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهان عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله
One more time.
يا وجيهان عند الله اشفع لنا.
We know that the Ahlul Bayt used to cry for Imam al-Hussein. And the Ahlul Bayt used to love those who would cry for Imam al-Hussein. And the Ahlul Bayt used to love those who used to recite the Marthi of Imam al-Hussein. Di'abal says, one day I entered in the presence of the 8th Imam. فَرَأَيْتُهُ جَالِسًا جِلْسَةَ الْحَزِينِ الْكَئِيمِ I saw him sitting in a very sad and a very sorrowful manner. But when the Imam saw Da'bal entering the gathering, he said, Oh Da'bal, come and sit next to me. Oh Da'bal, come and sit next to me. Welcome to the one who helps us. He helps us with his hands, and he helps us with his speech.
And then Da'ban sat next to Imam al-Ridha. The Imam said to him, O Da'ban, whoever cries for the Ahlul Bayt, whoever makes someone cry for the Ahlul Bayt, may Allah forgive all of his sins. O Da'ban, we want you to grieve whenever we are grieving, and we want you to celebrate whenever we are celebrating. And then Imam al-Ridha made reference to his grandfather, Imam al-Husayn. He said, O Da'ban, whoever cries for my grandfather al-Husayn, may Allah forgive all of his sins. And then Da'ban says, Imam said to me, O Da'ban, uhibbu an tunshidani shi'ara. I want you to recite some poetry for me, some poetry for Imam al-Husayn. And then he says that the Imam put a curtain between the ladies and the gents. And then he said to me, O Da'ban, irath al-Husayn, recite the marathiyah of Husayn. And so Da'ban started the recitation. He said, فاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدنا وقد مات عطشانا بشط فراتي. Oh Fatima, if you had only seen Hussein when he was being fought by the plains of Karbala, and he died thirsty by the river of Furat. إذا لنطمت الخد فاطم عنده وجرات دمع العين بالوجنات. Oh Fatima, you would have beat your cheeks next to him, and the tears would have flowed from your eyes. Oh Lady Fatima, if you had witnessed when Al-Husayn allowed Ali al-Akbar to go to the plains of Karbala. Oh Fatima, if you would have witnessed when Al-Husayn took Ali al-Asghar to the plains of Karbala. Oh Fatima, on that night after the day of Ashura, you would have witnessed Lady Sakina running out of the tent, running into the plains of Karbala, looking for her father, finding the headless body of Al-Husayn lying on the plains of Karbala. Oh Fatima, you would have witnessed the day after Ashura, when Imam al-Sajjad passed by the body of his father, covered in blood, covered in the sand of Karbala, covered by the arrows of the enemy. When Imam al-Husayn found out that he would have to leave the city of Medina, that night he came to the grave of Rasulullah, and he said to the grave of Rasulullah, Salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, may my salams be upon you, Prophet of Allah. I am Husayn, the son of Fatima. You know how much the Prophet used to love Imam al-Husayn. The Prophet used to make him sit on his laps. The Prophet would allow him to climb on his back. When the Prophet was in sujood, he allowed Imam al-Husayn to play on his back. We're told that one day, the Prophet of Allah kissed Imam al-Husayn on his face, and he said, Husaynu minni, wa ana min Husayn. Ahabba Allah man ahabba Husayna. May Allah love the one who loves al-Husayn. The Imam was bidding farewell to Rasulullah. On that evening, on the next day, the caravan of Imam al-Husayn left the city of Medina. In this caravan, there was Al-Abbas. In this caravan, there was Ali al-Akbar. In this caravan, there was Ali al-Asghar. In this caravan, there was Lady Sakina. Lady Zainab left with them. The ladies left with them. But there would come a day after the tragedy of Karbala when this very caravan would come back to the city of Medina. Lady Zainab, when she was entering the city, She said, Medina Tajaddina, La Taqbalina, the city of my grandfather, do not accept us on this day. Al-Hussein has been martyred in Karbala. His body was played on the plains of Karbala. Our children have been slaughtered on the plains of Karbala. We were taken prisoners from Karbala to Kufa and from وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Oh Allah, we pray to you for the sake of Imam al-Hussein. Oh Allah, accept our aza for Imam al-Hussein. O Allah, accept all of our good deeds and forgive all of our sins. O Allah, we pray to you to forgive all of our sins. O Allah, we pray to you to answer all of our prayers. O Allah, we pray to you to help us understand the message of Imam al-Hussein. O Allah, we pray to you to help us follow in the footsteps of Imam al-Hussein. O Allah, we pray to you for all those who are sick and suffering, for you to grant them a complete and a quick recovery. O Allah, we pray to you for all those who are suffering around the world, our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world. Ya Allah, we ask you to alleviate their suffering and to bring peace and harmony back to their lands. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.